This she'er is dedicated Le'il Nishmas Uvi Moiri Yixil Yehida Ben Tzvi Ve'imi Marusi Laya Bashmil Tahay Nishmusam Tziriru B'tzroi Hachayim.
You want Dav David or Medalev?
Rabbi Zeri Omam. He says somewhat different. Moishe Lo'ilon Hava Yoda. Moishe in reality knew the middle of the night. But David Nami Havayot, and David also knew. So the question is, given the David Havayot, if David knew, Kiner Lomeloi, why did he need a Kiner? So he answers, not to tell him when the middle of the night is. Li Suri Mishno, say, to awake from his sleep, in case he fell asleep, so the Kiner should wake him up. Because he said above, later in the middle of the night, he never arose, because the Kiner was there, like an alarm clock. But he didn't need the kinah to tell him when the middle of the night was. Had he been awake, he would have known. So the question now arises, Akivan the Mesha Havayoda, Loma Leila Memer Kachat says, why did he say around midnight? So the Gemara answers. Mesha calls up, Mesha was thinking, Shema Yitu is Tagnini Pare. Maybe the stargazers of Pare would have an error. They think they know astronomy, and they measure the middle of the night. But Yema, they say, Meisha Badoya, Meisha was a liar, let's say. When the market will come in the middle of the night, precisely, but they'll think it wasn't the middle of the night, according to their calculations. And they'll come out with an announcement that Meisha Rabbeinu was off by a minute. Even though the market is a market. But anybody who wants to get out of it will say, look, it's not true, it's off by a minute. The Omar Ma, Lamed, we learn, Lamed Lishencha Lema Enide. Teach your tongue to say you don't know. Never put yourself out on a limb by making any precise commitment. Shemotis Badi, you might be made a liar, and you'll be seized. Now, it doesn't mean you actually will be made a liar, but it means somebody might say that what you said is not exactly true. So don't say things that even people who are mistaken can try to contradict you. Always talk round and smooth words that nobody can grab on and hold on to it and contradict you. So when you say something, say it in such a way that you are modest, don't be too clear-cut, even when you're right, because the party to whom you're talking may not be able to prove that it's so. He'll think that you're wrong. Again, Lamed L'Shein Cholema, teach your tongue to say Eini Yodea, you don't know. First of all, Shemit is Bada, you might be found wrong anyhow. That's a plain truth. You might be found wrong. But even in a case like Meisha Rabbeinu, if the other party thinks you're wrong, it's also something you have to avoid. Betiochet, and you'll be caught. Say that. Now, the sugi up till now was built on the expression Kachat Seis, which means around midnight. So at first we thought Meisha Rabbeinu didn't know precisely when it was. Another tells us he knew, but he was afraid the stargazers wouldn't know precisely. Now Rav Ashi comes along and says, Kachat says, doesn't mean around midnight, it means something entirely different. But I'll tell you first what he says. Meisha Rabbeinu was standing at midnight before the night of Pesach night. And he was telling the people, tomorrow night, Kachat says, like this midnight, that's when the Makkah B'chel will take place. Not because it was somewhere around midnight. He knew precisely, again, Avashi Yoma, the Palgi Ulti, the Tlesa Nagi Abesa Havikoi, in the middle of the night of the 13th, Nagi Abesa, going on 14th, he was standing. Again, Tlesa, the 13th, Nagi Abesa, going on 14th, the night, or before the 14th. That's the night before Pesach night he was standing. Tomorrow night, exactly like midnight now, I'm going out of Mitzrayim. Kihoina, just like now. So it doesn't prove that Meisha Rabbeinu didn't know. The Chof Kachat Seis means like now. Say that.
The David. Shomro nafshi ki chosid oni. Now David said, Hashem, guard me, protect me, because I am a chosid. Chosid means I do more than I am required. He's devoted to Hashem, does more than is required. Now, anybody who does more than is required to do has a special favor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, on this, there are two opinions, Levi and Rabbi Yitzchak. Chachamah once said, Chachamah Dovid lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dovid said as follows. What was Dovid's excessive devotion to Hashem? Ribbono shel Olam, lo chosid, am I not especially devoted to you? She called Malchei Mizrach u'Ma'ariv, all the kings from the east and west, Yesheinim at Shalosh Shayot, they sleep all night until the third hour of the morning. Ve'ani, but I, Chatzos Laila, Okum Lahedus Laho, I arise to praise you in the middle of the night. And he spends all the night in speaking to Hashem. So now, that's one opinion, what David considered his chassidus, his special devotion to Hashem. Now, what the other one will say soon doesn't mean he's contradicting this. He agrees that David did that. But David did not put that forward as his real devotion to Hashem. Something else he put forward. The other one says, no. He says, Kach Amadu. This is what David said, Lepnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means, even though David did get up every night in the middle of the night and he spent the whole night in Shiras V'Sishbochas and serving Hashem, but he didn't put that forward as the sign of his chassidus. Ribbono shel Olam lo chassid ani. Am I not a chassid? Means more devoted to you. She called Malchei Mizrach u'Ma'arav Yoshvim Agudes Agudes B'Chleidom. All the kings of the east and west sit in groups in their honor, may they sit in glory together, and they spend their time in a dignified manner. Vani, Yodai Meluch Loches Badam, my hands are soiled always in blood, means Dam Nida, women come to ask me Shilas, Ubi Spiel, Spiel is the shape of the embryo. And he has to see whether the shape of the embryo is enough to make her tome later, or is just an early miscarriage, and she's not tome later. And bishilya, shilya is the placenta, which the embryo comes, to see if it's a real placenta. If it's a real placenta, even though he finds nothing inside except liquid, we say it melted away, because ein shilya below v'lad, and she's tome later. But if the placenta is not a real placenta, it's just a misformed thing, so she's not tummy later. Now David used to help take it in his hand and feel it and examine it, and his hands were soiled with blood and such things, and therefore David said, that's the sign of chassidus. So the first one says the sign of devotion to Hashem was that he was all up all night, every night, he took away the sleep from his eyes. He sacrificed his ease, and the second one says he sacrificed his dignity. And it's a machlekes, which is considered more chassidus. If a man sacrifices his ease, or he sacrifices his dignity. And why did he do it? Kidei letaher isha lebailo, in order that a woman should become toher to her husband, in case she didn't have to have your maid tumah. So he told her immediately, you're toher, and you can go to the mikveh, and you mutter to your husband right away. Well, not only that, now this everybody agrees, the second part. So the first part is a machlekes. What constituted real chassidus? Is it a sacrifice of ease? Is it privation? Or is it a sacrifice of one's dignity for the honor of Hashem? Well, not only that, Ela kol ma shani, whatever I do, ani nimloch b'mifibeshes rabbi, I take counsel of Mephibosheth, my Rebbe. Mephibosheth was a son of, a descendant of Shaul. And so David consulted Mephibosheth always. The Omer, I said to him, Mephibosheth, Rabbi, Yofe Danti, did I judge properly? Danti, when you talk about Dini bin Odom Lachaveh, Dini Momenitz. Or Yofe Chiyavti, Yofe Zikisi, did I make somebody innocent properly? Yofe Tihalti, did I make somebody Toher? In Taharis properly, Yofe Timesi, although Boshe wasn't ashamed, even though he was consulting somebody. Now, David himself was a capable man, and he was a king too. Nevertheless, to make sure that he would never make any error, he always consulted Mephibosheth. And we'll soon see, Mephibosheth was not an easy rabbi. Many times he used to embarrass David. And there were people standing around, and they saw the king being embarrassed. Nevertheless, David went through all this in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the best possible manner. Say that. Omer Rabbi Yeshua Bereda Rav Idi Mai, where is the pasuk that hint? Where is the pasuk that hints that David was embarrassed at certain times in the service of Hashem? Micah, what's the pasuk? V'adabro beidoseha neged malachim, I shall speak in your laws in the presence of kings, below Avish, and I shall not be ashamed. Which means, first of all, in the presence of kings when he was sitting, let's say kings were visiting from neighboring countries. So a woman says she has a shayla to ask. In the Malchei Beis David, Paskin Shayla. They're unusual. We find that always. Malchei Beis David, Paskin Shayla. And so David said, let her in. So she brought in a bloody business, and David put it on the table, and the kings were aghast, what's taking place here? And David said, that's the way I serve Hashem. Also, he turned to Mephibosheth, am I paskin it right? And the president of the king, Mephibosheth says, I'm sorry, you're wrong here. He didn't say, I'm sorry. He said, you're wrong. He embarrassed him. You forgot what I told you. And so in the presence of kings, he was embarrassed. And David took it all in the service of Hashem. Tony will end up by saying, lo, Mephibosheth, Shmo. His name wasn't Mephibosheth. His name was Ishbosheth. Velomo, Nikra, Shmo, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, the word P means from his mouth there came forth embarrassment for David. Shoyim evayish p'nei David ba'alach. He used to put David to shame in halach. He was also a son of king, Mephibosheth, so he wasn't too humble before David. And therefore, when David did anything that Mephibosheth saw wasn't exactly according to the way he understood, so he criticized him sternly. The thinker, therefore, because David was humble and he was able to accept criticism, Zoha David, David became worthy, he merited, they came forth from his son Kilo. Now Kilo is not famous in the chronicles of the Tanakh, because Kilo wasn't an active man. But Kila was famous for his lumdus, only for his lumdus. Others were active. But David was blessed with one son, who was a big lumdus, and the purpose why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to him was, and as a reward for those who belittled David's lumdus. His name wasn't Kila, Ella Daniel Shema. That's not the Daniel that lived much later. David had a son, Daniel. He's not famous in our chronicles, but he's a very big lambda. V'lomo nikra shmo Kilo, why did he give a name Kilo? Shehoyah machlim, he used to put to shame, kill off, put to shame off. Off means the father of the teachers. He could embarrass the teachers. Shehoyah machlim p'nei Mephibosheth b'halacha, he could put him to shame. It wasn't the purpose. But when sometimes David said something now, and Mephibosheth criticized him. So Kilo, who was already a lamdan, spoke up and says, no, he says, my father is right, and he proved it to him. So now Mephibosheth was put to shame. That was David's reward. But all of Omar Shlomo b'chokhmah, and Shlomo said about Kilo in his chokhmah. Shlomo was his brother. If your heart is wise, Yismach libi gam oni. I also rejoice. A father has nachas when he has a son who is wise, who is a lamdan. That's number one we have to learn here. The biggest nachas a son father has, of course, a son has to be Rabbi Dera Hayosha. But being a Dera Hayosha and being ignoramus is not a full nachas. But the son walks Dera Hayosha and is also a big lamdan, then the father's heart rejoices in this world and rejoices in the world. He comes in Gan Eden, the father sits and has nachas from such a son. The Eber says, Chacham b'ni, be wise, my son. v'samach libi, and give joy to my heart, v'yashiva chorif hidava, and I will answer a word to those who mock me. Now this means that in the world to come, when it comes to Bezdin Shalmailo, so you'll be standing before the Mekatrik, and the Mekatrik is Cherpe, the one makes Cherpe on him, and puts blame on a man, because that's his job, to accuse a man before the Bezdin Shalmailo, when he's being judged in the world to come. But when he's able to point to his son, he raised up his son, who is Oisik Batoiro, and successful in Torah, that's the way to answer back Cherpe, he answers back the Sultan, who is Mekatrik. So therefore, he's telling us that David was given such a great nachas. Because why? Because he was quiet in this world when he was being embarrassed. So in the next world, he won't be embarrassed because the lumdus of his son will speak up to defend him. Say that. Fragt die Gemara mit David, mi kore nafshe chosid. Did David call himself a chosid? Did he have such a good opinion of himself? Oksiv, isn't it written, Lulei Hamanti, if not that I believed, Lirois B'tuv Hashem, to see the goodness of Hashem Be'eretz Chaim, in the land of the living. Now we say that in the David Eire. There it says that David was talking about his distress, his hardships that he endured. And he said the only thing that kept him going was his emunah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would someday give him his goodness in the land of the living. Now what the land of the living is, it could mean this world, the land of the living, and it certainly means the world to come, that's the everlasting life. That's what kept David going, his hope that someday HaKadosh Baruch Hu would show him his goodness. So even though David was being pursued by Shaul, and he was constantly in danger of his life, David was hunted like a wild animal for years and years, still, he didn't lose his trust because, Lule, if not for the fact that I believe, I would see the good of Hashem in the land of the living. But, V'toni v'lein d'b'raise mishmei d'rabi yes, lo mo no kut al Lule. In Tilim, there's a dot over Lule, and that dot brings our attention to a hidden meaning. Omar David, hidden meaning is this, Omar David, v'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'edus haleilom, I am confident in you, I trust in you, that you pay a good reward for the righteous in the world to come. I know there's Olam Habo where you'll reward all the righteous people. But I don't know if I'll have a portion between them or not. That's what Lule means. We shouldn't say it so posh. Lule means, David said, that kept me going. It kept him going, always with a doubt. Always was a doubt bothering him. Maybe I won't be worthy of Olam Habo either. Maybe I'm being punished in this world because I deserve it, and therefore in the next world, I won't get anything either. That's why there's a doubt over Lule. So first of all, we have to know the flame shot. Flame shot is, that has to keep a man going. Despite all of his vicissitudes, even a person, the Dogadach, who's dying in pain, and there's nothing to look forward in this world, but that should keep him going, the fact that he's looking forward to the world of life, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward the righteous. However, everybody has to have a dot over the lule, has to think, who knows if I'll be there? And therefore, in his last moments, a man should do the best that he can to be worthy. He should give as much tzedakah as he can, even though the Gemara says, if a person is distributing money, he shouldn't give more than a fifth of his property for tzedakah. But in his extremities, he can give all his wants. Because what doesn't a man do to save himself? Where says that? So therefore, a man is dying, and he thinks he didn't give enough, he's afraid he won't be worthy, he can give all that he wants, even more than a fifth. So we see that David had both thoughts. First thought that is consoled him, it kept him going always. But the second thought that bothered him was the fear, maybe I won't be worthy. So we see that David did not consider himself a chassid, and for the Gemara, no. David knew that he was a chassid. David wasn't blind. He knew that he did more than others did. Like we said above, all night he was serving Hashem, and he constantly degraded himself for the sake of serving Hashem, his fingers are always bloody, and he always was in being embarrassed because he asked approval from his Rebbe. Still, Shemo Yigrem Achet. The answer is he was afraid Achet might cause it. Even though he knew where he was standing with Hashem, he was afraid something might turn up and change things. Nobody, as long as he's alive, can be confident. Even if you would know for certain that you're a tzaddik, that's not so sure either. But let's say you know for certain you're a tzaddik, you must be always apprehensive. Something might suddenly turn up and you might make the wrong choice, and chas v'sholem, you're no longer what you were before. Sometimes people who are very good lose themselves in a moment of passion and they do something very wrong and now they are lost, unless they do a very big tshuva. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes them out of the world before they have a chance to do tshuva. And so David was concerned, Shemo Yigre Machet, maybe the sin will cause it. And I bring you an example. Kid Rav Yankiv Bar Idi. Rav Yankiv Bar Idi, Rami Astekash, Hashem promised Yankiv Avinu in the vision of the ladder. So he said, Hinei Anochi Imoch, behold, I'll be with you, Ushmalticha Bechol Asher Telech, and I will guard you wherever you'll go. So we see he had a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a special nevuah that he had no need to be afraid of anything. But see, when it's written, when Yosef started coming with 400 men, it says, Yaakov was very much afraid. Why was he afraid? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a promise. And the answer is, Omar says, Shema Yigam Achet. Maybe the sin will cause, maybe, since Hashem promised me, since that time, maybe I did something that was unworthy, and therefore I'm no longer deserving of the promise. So now we learn that even a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dependent on a man's subsequent conduct. He can forfeit, he can default the right to that promise. See after here. Kedetanya, like you learned in Abaraisa, in Oz Yosher, it states, Tipol Aleim Emos Avapachat. There will fall a dread and a trembling on all the nations. When the Am Yisrael was going out of Egypt, all the nations were afraid of them because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had put his fear on them. And it states, Ad Yaver Amcho Hashem, until your people pass by. They won't do anything. Now, but that expression is repeated, Ad Yaver Amzu Konisa. Why is it written twice? So we learn in the Bible, Ad Yaver Amcho Hashem, Ad Yaver Amzu Konisa. Now he explains, Ad Yaver Amcho Hashem Zubir Veshin. That's the first time that they came to Eretz Yisrael from Egypt. When Moshe Rabbeinu took them out of Egypt. So Shomu Amim Yergozu, the nations heard and they trembled. Chil Ochaz Yoshe Ploshes. A trembling took hold of all the inhabitants of Ploshes. Until your people pass over and come to take the land. Then it says again, the second thing means when Yeshua was it when Ezra and the Bayis Sheni came from Babel with the people, the same thing could have been. They could have marched out of Persia with a high hand and all the nations would have trembled, but instead they didn't. When they came from Persia, it was only with the permission of the king, and they came only as subjects of the king, and even in Eretz Yisrael where they came, they were under the rule of the Persians, and the Persians had the power, and they had to obey the Persians, and they were subject to them. So the second coming was not like the first coming, but it wasn't supposed to be that way. The second coming was also supposed to be the same way as the first. Ad Yaver Amzu Koniso Zubi Oshniya. That's the second coming. The Kanom of Mir Chomer said, Ruuyim Hoyu Yisrael Leosis Lohem Nes Bimei Ezra. The Yisrael were fit that a nest should be done for them. In the time of Ezra, there's a second Beis HaMikdash, just as it was done when Yeshua ben Nun came to Eretz Yisrael the first time. Why didn't it happen, however? Ela shegoram achet. A chet caused it. There was a chet. The chet was because when he came from Babel, very few people volunteered to come. Only a small number volunteered to come. The rest found it too comfortable in Babel, where they had been already for 70 years. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, since you're not interested that much, I also am not interested. And therefore, when they came back only as subjects of Poras. They didn't come, the Yad Roma, with a high hand, as he went out the first time. Say that.
This shiur was made available by kolavigdir.com.